This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey! All right, we're back. The Fan in New York. Cam, the 2 a.m., which means I don't have much show left. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk to me. I've been gone for a little while, trying to get the biorhythms back in order to do the late night shows. I'm on late all week till 2 a.m. Shout out to C-Mac holding me down and everybody else that filled in between. So much goes on in the wide world of sports. Jake Paul, was he 27 years old, fighting almost 60 years old Mike Tyson? I was on the flight home. I didn't even get to see that. I didn't see the Knicks beat the Nets the first time. I didn't watch UFC. I missed a little bit of stuff. It is what it is. Something I wanted to get off, man, on flights. Two things. Don't be these guys. If you're the guy sitting in the back of the plane, that's where you paid to sit. You can put your stuff overhead, and when you know the flight lands and they get to the gate and the thing goes off, whatever, you can undo your seatbelt and get your stuff. Get your stuff and sit your ass back down. Do not think that you are the guy that is going to walk past even one or two people to try to, like, get ahead, get to baggage claim, or get to the Uber. I can't stand that. I was with my baby, so I couldn't really do this, but, like, there was a family that tried to pull that on the flight out. And it was funny, there was a guy maybe two or three rows, shout out to him, I kind of gave him a nod, like, appreciate you holding it down for the entire flight, that stopped one of the people that was trying to do that. And he literally said, whoa, Kemosabe, where do you think you're going? And the guy tried to play like he didn't speak English or didn't understand him. And then he looked dead at him like, yo, do you not understand what I'm saying? Go back to your seat. Don't cut all of these people that are in front of you that didn't jump up, grab their stuff, and try and dip off the plane. Like, there's an order here. If you want to get off the plane first, pay for the seats in front of the plane. Like, pay for first class, and you get that right. 888-808-1019. Don't be that guy, and then also don't be this guy. And I kind of gave this guy a break, and I turned my headphones all the way up, my AirPods all the way up so I couldn't hear him, but I'm now the guy on the plane, you know, on the flight out. I'm walking my baby up the aisle to get him to chill a little bit. And my son does not have any chill in him. I'm the guy now that is like, I'm sorry. Like, even before we get on the plane, I'm sitting next to a young lady and I'm like, hope you're not sitting by us. This guy's nuts. But I get on the flight out. It's a nighttime flight. And I set it up like that because my son is going to go to sleep at night. And I'm hoping he sleeps through the 4-hour flight. On the way to falling asleep, if you have a child, you understand, like, they fight it. They kick, they scream, they have a tired cry. But then once they're out, they're out. And I get into my seat with my son, and we finally get him set up where he falls asleep. But he was loud for maybe 15 minutes, not even. He did a good job. Then there's a guy in front of us, in the seat in front of us, who is talking about everything from his iPad to his whole family tree to what he did over the break. And he's so loud. My wife looks at me. She's like, you hear this guy? And I'm like, yeah, my headphones are up. She's like, he's talking so loud. And the lady across from us is like, she's getting offended. Where I hear her literally say something like, I wish I had a tranquilizer for him. So now I'm like, all right, my son is sleeping and my son doesn't have AirPods in, earplugs in. I'm like, let me check out the situation so, like, he doesn't speak so loud that he wakes my son up. I take my AirPods out. Homie gets up to go to the bathroom, and the lady that is sitting, he's in the middle of three seats. The lady that's sitting to his right looks back at us like, I'm so sorry, I don't know him. So I'm like, wait, what? This guy's having this loud conversation that all of us can hear on the plane at night, dark, with a stranger? With someone he doesn't know? She's like, I don't know him. I'm sorry. I'm like, is this guy on something? Is he... I didn't really ask. But he comes back, and now I don't have my AirPods in. And he sits down, and the lady starts to ignore him to his right. So he immediately starts to talk to the dude on his left. And he's like, what's up, man? How's it going? The guy doesn't say anything. He goes, where do you think we are? And as soon as he said that, I said, an airplane at night. Like, basically, like, be quiet. And he kind of looked back and, like, chuckled. But, like, he also had looked back prior in the flight to see that I had a baby. So I was giving him a break. Like, maybe we were being loud. But it's like, how can you? I'm telling you, this guy is blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this, you know, my iPad. So, you know, this is what I do with my iPad. And, you know, for a couple weeks, we went out, we saw this. How are you talking to complete strangers on the plane at night? For 3.5-4 hours. 888-808-1019. Please do not be one of those guys. All right, let's get back to the conversation around Daniel Jones being benched. I don't know, the curse of Joe Willie. I thought when he was saying Joe Willie, it was not Joe Willie Namath. Something else. I'm talking about more of the curse of the Jets over the last 13 years. Not their damn near whole existence. Yikes. Ross is in Bergen County, back on the Fan. What's up, Ross?
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Curse of the butt fumble. Think your closest call.
That was embarrassing. That Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, was it 2012, 2013? Because that was a couple years removed from that. Not only made the playoffs back-to-back AFC titles, so they were still respectable. And they basically lost all their dignity on one play. And 13 years later, it's still got a ripple effect.
Curse of the butt fumble. Yeah, and I think there was another play recently where people were like, this is worse than the butt fumble. I'm like, no, it's not. And we've already forgotten about it.
The only one that might have been was that Fail Mary, Bloody Mary, whatever it was called, coming up on a year on that. I remember it was at the Devil game, ironically, that Black Friday game. Tim Boyle lobs it up, zeros on the clock, and they take it back for 99 yards.
Maybe.
I don't mean to laugh.
I mean, that was bad, but no, there was another, like, mistake or something that happened. But no, the butt fumble is the butt fumble, and there might be a curse there, but what else you got, Ross?
Well, speaking of cursed franchises, the day has finally come where me, along with many others, mostly Giant fans, but self-hating Giant fans, but me on board that same train, the conductors of the anti-Daniel Jones train. The reason this didn't happen two years earlier was because of my said cursed franchise that I pledged my allegiance to, that being one of only, really, if we're being honest, like four or five great games in his career, one of them having to be a road playoff game, and it delayed the inevitable 2 years later. But here we are, and ironically, is what pretty much feels like it's the permanent benching and the end of his run in New York. Of course, the backup would be, you know, an alum of my, you brought up my high school before, Don Bosco Prep, which is, you know, when this got announced, like 8 o'clock, we were in school. We all thought, we saw that we got the alerts, Jones got benched. We figured Drew Locke was going to be the sub. And, you know, Tommy Cutler's basically leapfrogged him in the depth chart. It's unbelievable. So they're paying Locke $5 million to basically do nothing. He's like, I don't know if you ever saw that meme. It's like the guy just sitting on the boatloads of cash. I think it's from Breaking Bad. Basically, Drew Locke, he's getting paid millions to do nothing. And they leapfrog Tommy Cutlets and, you know, a school full of Giant fans, and legit nobody's excited, because if we're being honest, you look at this off last year, and him winning those couple of games, the Packer game, couple others, is the reason why they don't have a Drake May or Jaden Daniels or potentially even a Bo Nix to turn to this year. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting.
Or a J.J. McCarthy. We'll see if that's your guy when Sam Darnold signs with whoever he signs with.
Yeah, well, I mean, thank God that, you know, it took a stinker in Jacksonville and kind of followed it up in Tennessee, but there was a couple of weeks where there were rumors going around they might pay that guy long-term. I was like, oh, my God, dude, you finally got a franchise QB.
Nah, hopefully, if they weren't going to pay Kirk Cousins, why would they pay Sam Darnold?
And I don't know, man. You kind of, well, it's kind of like with the Mets. You look at a guy who kind of bet on himself, one-year deal, but, I don't know, kind of year upon, you know, years upon years of beyond being, you know, non-NFL competitive, you know, Jets, even Carolina, he had nothing in the tank. You know, listen, he's playing winning football, right? You know, they're not winning because of him. They're winning despite him. I'm just hoping it's not a repeat of, you know, I brought up 22 before. Everybody, and deservedly so, they're, you know, a lot of those points are garbage. I mean, I'm in the last team. Brown putting up touchdowns up like 40 is shameless. But, I mean, deservedly so, Detroit's the team to beat. But, hey, man, I feel like we're 8-2. We're not getting enough respect. And I think it's a repeat of 22. I mean, we let everybody and their mother who was hating on us throughout the year, we proved them right. I'm hoping we don't get a repeat of that this year. But
Brian Flores and that defense, they're legit. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. You know, something you said about Tommy Cutlets, this is only going to last for this week. My reaction was the takes on WFAN are going to be great. I was listening to BT and Sal's show, and someone's like, Danny DeVito. I'm like, oh, we're going to fire up the Danny DeVito stuff. Danny Dimes, Tommy DeVito. They're going to just call him Danny DeVito. Like, the takes are only for this week because you will see him on Sunday in MetLife Stadium against the Bucks. You'll see what type of quarterback he is or isn't. You'll see what the offense looks like. Like, you're in a little bit of a conundrum because ultimately I think you want to tank, but nobody out there is actively trying to tank. You can't play football to lose. That's how you get hurt. But, like, what if Tommy Cutlets comes out there and is, like, really got a good connection with Malik Nabers, gets Malik Nabers going? Tyrone Tracy's going to run the ball. What if, like, what if these guys are galvanized by this? And what if, like, I mean, we've seen the mic'd up, the sound bites of Tommy Cutlets from preseason. He seems like he's one of the guys. He seems like the guys like him. What if they actually start playing well and there's a difference? Like, Daniel Jones was dead man walking. We all knew it. He knew it. Daniel Jones knew it. Like, he's watching Hard Knocks and they're talking about, would you trade up for Jaden Daniels? Yes. Like, that's basically your dead man walking. If they're able to draft your replacement, they would do it. They weren't able to do it. So you're basically going through the motions with a brand new toy in Malik Nabers, who they unretired a number for. Malik Nabers is allowed to call out the coach in the play calling. What if Tommy Cutlets gets him going, man? Bill is in Babylon. What's up, Bill? You're on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, JR? How are you, man? I respect your show. I love listening to it every night. I work nights. And I'm so glad that you got
Dang. See what happens, bro?
Out for a week and people are all of a sudden.
Oh, man. Black Monday. They called the black guy the other black guy. We haven't even had JR on in a while.
Not on this side.
JR, shout out to JR Sport Brief. Good guy. Well-spoken. No, I'm going to go back to him. I just put him on hold for a minute. Shout out JR. It's just funny because it's happened multiple times. I listen to your show. I respect your show. My show or JR's show? Because JR's show has been on Infinity Sports, which used to be CBS Radio. He did have like a consistent Saturday spot on WFAN. My show, I know it hasn't been for the last week and maybe a couple days before that. I think I was on the Thursday before and then I wasn't on Friday. Either way. I've been doing this for 3 years now. I've been doing nighttime WFAN till midnight or 2 a.m. for 3 years. I'm still getting called JR. We don't even sound alike. I don't know, man.
He doesn't see you through the radio, right? Like, come
yeah,
on.
But we don't. I don't even think our. I don't
I've
even think
JR
our.
It's like
JR is. I think from the X. I think he's from the Bronx. But I know he's down there in Atlanta.
Right, he's in Georgia now, right?
I can't even do a JR impression. He's a cool cat, but he's got like a slower... JR's got like a slower... What are we talking about? Like, JR's got a different delivery than me.
Yeah, that was not bad.
That was close?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, like, I've listened to JR, man. Shout out to JR. Let's go back to Bill in Babylon. But before we go to Bill, my name is Keith McPherson. I call my show KM to AM when it's 7 p.m. to 12. I call my show KM to 2 a.m. when it's after Monday Night Football, after the Yankees games, after Thursday Night Football, after the Nets games, after NCAA, after Rutgers basketball, whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not there yet, man. Maybe I got a little more work to do. Maybe I gotta work on some things. I gotta do better, man. JR, that one hurt, Bill.
Totally dig you. I know that, but all I have to, I'm just going to be, and I apologize.
It's all good.
And I will call again, and I will totally apologize, Cam.
It's part of the show, man. I haven't been on for a while.
McPherson.
There it is.
Mr. McPherson.
All good.
All I'm going to say is I apologize, man, but you mentioned before that when the Eli Manning benching, when he got benched.
Yes, Ben
Eli
McAdoo.
Manning, he never got benched. He was slated to start.
He
benched himself. He said, if you're going to play,
they broke
Gino,
his streak. They broke his streak.
No, he broke it. He broke his own streak. He chose to sit down because McAdoo wanted to see if he had a more mobile quarterback in Gino. And guess what? Gino, did you see the touchdown he scored yesterday?
I've seen a lot of Gino. Game? Yes, I think week one Maybe Gino ripped off a rushing touchdown like that. Thanks for the call, Bill. You can't, that's semantics. And I guess we can hijack the story now, and I've heard that story as well, right? Talking about halves, and like if you're playing football and you play quarterback, you're like, a quarterback has to be prepared to start the game and play the whole game. There can't be, oh, I'm going to start him for the first half, and then if it doesn't work out, we'll go back to you in the second half. I'm sure Eli Manning had a ton of pride with two Super Bowl rings. I'm sure he had a ton of pride with his streak, which would help his case right now for the Hall of Fame. But we can't say he was never benched. When you have a consecutive streak of starting games and you don't make that start and the second string quarterback gets that start, you're benched. No matter how it played out in the meeting room, no matter how it came to be, he was benched, and the team has not been the same since. Like, you've seen Mike Glennon rock. You've seen Jake Fromm under center. Now we're literally celebrating undrafted Tommy DeVito, which, again, no disrespect. I am from the Garden State. No disrespect. I am rooting for that guy. But I just think it's crazy. We're celebrating this. November 18th, now 19th, week 12. For what exactly? I understand celebrating Daniel Jones being done, but I don't think we should be celebrating like, yeah, let's go, Tommy Cousins. Like, what are you trying to get out of this? Are you celebrating that you don't think, like, that you actually think he's the worst option, right? That if Drew Lock went out there, Drew Lock is enough of an NFL quarterback where maybe he gets Malik Nabers going. Maybe he is able to, they don't feel that way. Or maybe they don't feel it. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. Even with Dable and his press conferences and how he is, I understand the question, kind of dances around stuff, but still, you know, from the meetings we have or whatever, you know, like, they, you know, I 100% respect Drew Lock and what he's done. There's another thing that's floating out there. Shout out to Spot Track again. You know, part of the reason Drew Lock isn't the Giants quarterback for the next 7 weeks, and they put out his incentives, right? He's got a playing time incentive. Passing incentives, team incentives. So, like, I'm looking at it now. There's like $250,000 each for 40%, 50%, and like some of these things he's not going to be able to get to, right? Like team incentives, 55% to 69% of snaps, and a playoff berth earns you $500,000. That's not going to happen. 70% of snaps and a playoff berth also can earn you 500 grand. That's not going to happen. But they're not going to trigger Daniel Jones's injury clause. They're also not going to trigger any of this extra money to pay a guy that they shouldn't have paid $5 million anyway. 888-808-1019. Speaking of paying guys, you know, the Juan Soto conversation, I'm glad I took a vacation so I could get a break from that. I think my emotions coming off of the World Series L and looking through the lens of like what my fellow Yankee fans had to endure, what my fellow Yankee fans had to wear, had to go through, that was one of the hardest L's to ever take. I think looking at Juan Soto and saying the Yankees lost the World Series, they can't lose Juan Soto, like the two things are separate. And I'm already just over the shenanigans, and I know it's going to be a lot of money, and what I can't do is say what I know the Yankees are going to do. I don't know if Hal Steinbrenner is going to say, oh, we're getting an extra $15 million from the Tampa Bay Rays this year. We can spend whatever we want on Juan Soto. And shout out to George M. Steinbrenner Field. They just had some renovations go on from spring training to now. It's the largest spring training ballpark down there. I'll probably be at spring training. I might go see the Yankees play the Rays there. I never wanted to go to Trashacana Field. How about that? The two ballparks, I've been to 17 ballparks out of 30. The two worst ballparks in baseball, we got them up out of there. The Oakland Coliseum will have no games. Tropicana Field will have no games. Almost naturally that happened. 888-808-1019. That's great, but you know, I can't speak for Hal Steinbrenner and how he feels. I can't speak for the owner of the Yankees, who is not a fan of the Yankees, who is a businessman. I can't say that he's going to say, we have to get Juan Soto, because if we lose Juan Soto to our crosstown rival by, you know, just being outbid, similar to Joe Shane and Brian Dable and the Giants organization losing Saquon Barkley to an in-division rival simply by being outbid, I don't know if Hal feels the embarrassment, the shame, the shift that will occur if, in fact, Juan Soto joins the Mets and Steve Cohen's going to just add another $50 million on. Like, I think I saw there was a take today where another, like, you know, Steve Cohen's willing to go $50 million over whatever. And I think a lot of us had used that number. Like, if he's able to just add $50 million and say, ah-ha-ha, money is nothing to me, I will not be outdone. And, like, that's exactly what Scott Boras wants. Scott Boras is somewhere like, meh, come to my underground lair. Let's crunch the numbers over a glass of champagne. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what these guys are plotting. I'm just happy to be able to afford a vacation to take my wife and my son somewhere where I'm not on air for like 10 days. I come back, people think I'm JR. Shout out to Solomon in Brooklyn. You're next up on the Fan. Go for it, bro.
How are you, Cam? Good evening.
I'm good. What do you got for us?
I would like to know how's the meetings with the Yankees, and if, as you're saying, if you know, if Juan Soto is going to come back to the Yankees, or is he going to, you know, leave the Yankees and go to the crosstown rival? And plus, if the Yankees had Aaron Judge in the meeting while they're meeting Juan Soto. That's all. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Was there some type of report that Aaron Judge was going to be in this meeting? I didn't see that. I saw Hal. I saw Cash. I saw Boone. I don't think I read anything about Judge being in the meeting, but let's talk about Judge for a second. Shout out to my guy, David Rifkin, who is a first-class Yankee fan. Like, has his name on a seat in the Delta Suites, I believe, and has brought up his son to be, you know, the heir to that Yankee fandom. But we were talking about Judge, and like, you know, there was a thought that the Yankees might lose Judge to the San Francisco Giants. Not a rival, but his hometown team, who Judge played it so well. I remember being at the All-Star game in L.A., and when they interviewed Judge on the MLB Network panel, he talked about after Yankee games, going home and still watching Giants games, being that much of a fan in his heart still, where I was a little worried. I was like, wow. I mean, if he's not baseballed out and not just going to sleep after the game and getting home, like, he's still staying up to watch the Giants play. Like, he might want to be Barry Bonds. He might want to walk through that. This might be a real... Judge never puts anything out on social media. And a video pops up 2 years ago of him in a San Francisco hotel smiling. Looks like he's so happy to be a free agent getting to do a visit out there. Now, I put out some on my Twitter saying, take all of your official visits, Juan Soto. I don't necessarily regret this because I think I would have taken all my official visits and still chose James Madison University. It was too easy for me to go there. I took one visit. You get five. When you're coming out of college or you're coming out of high school to go to college, you get five official visits where they're supposed to, like, you know, put the helmet there, put a jersey there for you. They're supposed to put you in a hotel. They're supposed to bring your family out. They're supposed to take care of you, food, whatever, show you around, show you what it would be like to go there. This is Juan Soto's only opportunity to take official visits, right? This is his only opportunity to go see what the Dodgers have to offer. He just saw the Red Sox, right? You know, the Mets presentation. Everybody wants to be, you know, treated like the belle of the ball, the girl everybody wants. With the Yankees, though, it's just like he was already there. Like, he's seen everything. Or has he not? Did the Yankees, that's what I want to know, Did the Yankees keep some things tucked? Like, hey, wait, no. Like, you're a one-year guy here. You sign with us and you get this. And how much of an influence is Judge? Because as much as people laughed and talked about, like, it's so easy. This is New York. The Yankees lose the World Series. Some of those reporters root for the team that got eliminated in the championship series. Some of them cover the team that the Dodgers historically beat. Like, the run scored was the most ridiculous differential in postseason history. Anyway, so of course they're asking about, oh, well, what about Steve Cohen? What about the Mets? And Juan Soto, I don't know who's going to come after me, but, you know, I'm available to all 30 teams. He did go out of his way to thank Judge. He spoke on Judge specifically. He had the best season of his career hitting in front of Judge. Does he want to continue playing with Judge? Like, is that a factor or not at all? I was talking to David about Soto playing with Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. Those guys are mega stars with $300 million contracts. It didn't work. Three might be too many, but, like, is it different here with Judge? And another thing with Judge, before we do go to break, 888-808-1019, I'm running out of time. If you remember correctly, Judge was an Under Armour athlete. He was Under Armour. He was Adidas. Now he's Jumpman, Jumpman. But I'm saying that because Under Armour, based in Maryland, they have good athletes. They have Steph Curry. They had Tom Brady. I think they have Bryce Harper. But, like, if that is your brand, and Under Armour is a brand that is trying to compete with Nike, Jordan, Adidas, like, they have definitely a say, and they definitely have a pitch. And I saw that Juan Soto kind of, like, I think it was either batting, I don't know what it was. It was like maybe a elbow protector, or maybe like a batting glove, or maybe a sliding mitt with the 22, and he's got his own, like, Jumpman logo of him doing the shuffle. And I'm like, did Under Armour make that logo for Juan Soto? They're probably making logos and prototypes, and if Juan Soto signs with the Yankees or the Mets, they probably already have his designer cleat, his specialty gloves, his shirts, his merch that are going to come out, you know, as Juan Soto, like, similar to how Steph Curry's got his SC stuff with Under Armour. Under Armour lost Judge as a Yankee. I don't think they're trying to lose Juan Soto as a Yankee. I think if they have any say, they're going to say, hey, we're going to sell more Juan Soto 22 shuffle logo merch in pinstripes than in any other uniform, Mets or Giants or Dodgers or whatever. I think those things matter. But I think for Scott Boras, what matters to him and for him to do his actual job is to do what he's doing. Take every official visit. Nothing leaks out today, yesterday. Peculiar, huh? We hear all these things about the Red Sox, who are a non-factor. Trust me. He's not going to be a Boston Red Sox. They trade away Mookie. But I don't have enough time. But, like, we hear about how great that was. How come we don't hear anything today about how great the interview with the Yankees was? Because, like, what else? I don't know. Oh, this just came out about the meeting with the Yankees.
We watched it play out for a whole year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are the Yankees going to be like? They showed Juan Soto an unlimited Chipotle card for lifetime Yankees. Like, what is there?
Highlight reel from this season, maybe? As long as it wasn't the fifth inning.
Like, nah, but, like, they got to have some type of key to the city. Oh, like, here's our specialty dry cleaners. Here's our car wash that we use. You got unlimited car washes.
Like, yeah, but he already knows.
He knows. If you're a Yankee, regardless in New York, you're getting that stuff for free. I don't know. 888-808-1019. We'll talk Soto. I've opened it up now for baseball conversation. Luis Gil is the Rookie of the Year. CeCe Sabathia is on the Hall of Fame ballot. There's a couple more things to do. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up if you want to talk to me. I will be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Good job. I don't know if I had to dump that or not. I just dumped that from Hove. I didn't know. Nintendo. I don't know if you can say that one. But I love that song. People talking. Yeah. It's funny, man. I dip off and things have changed. I'm not able to just dip off quietly. I'm not able to delete social media. I'm not able to not post. And I'm blessed. It gave me a wild perspective for real. I really just wanted to be present with my wife, who her and I are on opposite schedules. And I was telling Rami, because he's been, with his wife for however long. And I'm like, you know how it is with your wife, where if you don't see each other, there's just natural static. If you don't get to have coffee in the morning together, if you don't get to have dinner, there's just going to be arguments and fights over nothing. And you're just not going to be on the same page. And me working at night, I'm sleeping in the morning when my wife gets up a lot to take care of my son. And then she goes to work, and when she comes in the door tired, a lot of times I'll, either be putting my son to bed or I'll be here. And we're kind of ships passing in the night. So my whole thing with the last week was, all right, I'm going to dip off quietly. I didn't feel like I needed to announce it on WFAN, but I did say a couple times on my way out, yo, this is my last show and I'm gone for a week. And I told people in here, obviously. But yeah, people start talking while I'm on vacation, just literally trying to be present. I'm telling you, these phones are poison. I'm telling you that these social media apps, they're poison. I'm telling you, you can even I work out and I was feeling my wrist when I was benching. I'm like, why is my wrist weak? I'm like, it's from holding this damn phone. I couldn't wait to do what I call screen break, like a play on spring break. I've done this for years on holidays or vacations. Delete all social media apps, almost every app from your phone, so that when you do go to scroll, there's nothing there and you're reminded, hey, put this stupid phone down. I don't know, I'm a little older than some people may be listening. I remember not having a phone. I remember people around me not having a phone. We'll never go back to that. So to enjoy a vacation with my wife and my son, who I hadn't been able to have consecutive hours with, just us, since I was on paternity leave, I deleted social media and I wasn't on the Fan. And people start talking, and last Thursday, I get a bunch of weird texts from people that I actually am cool with, that I know. Like, yo, what's going on? When you back? You here? I'm just like, it was a good perspective for me to feel what that's like. There's an episode of I Am Dave where Lil Dicky, he doesn't fake his death, but people think Lil Dicky dies, and you get to see the reaction of people, and it's like, wow, this is what happens. And so for me, it's just like, wow, this is what would happen if that was true. I bet. I needed that. I'm going to come back. I'm going to do me. More to do. I'm going to come back. I've been gone for a week. They think I'm JR. More to do. I'm going to come back. I'm only going to have 2 hours. More to do. So I've got 14 minutes left. Let me take these last 5 calls. And then I'll get out of here and I'll come back and do this Tuesday night through Friday night. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m., year 3 going on 4. Let's go to Doug out in Jersey City where I live.
Hello, sir.
Hey.
I really enjoy the show. I think it's great. And I called about what you had been discussing a little while ago about how the Giants should tank to get a better pick. And while I agree with most of the things you say, I just think that's an awful idea. I just think it leaves such a bad taste in your mouth if people catch on to what you're doing. And it's just not worth it, because how do you know that even if you get, they're going to get a very good pick as it is, how do you know you're going to get a great player? I'm actually a Jet fan, and I remember when they were saying the same thing when they picked
Zach Wilson, thought they were going to get Trevor Lawrence or even Sam Darnold. Baker Mayfield ends up
going. How did that work out for Trevor Lloyd? Turned out not to be the big superstar.
A great call. It is all an inexact science. Thank you for chiming in on that, Doug. And I'll say this. Whether they try to tank or not, right? Because it's like, this is a conversation for the fans. This is conversation between fans. I already told you, these grown-ass men that go out there to play football that are literally willing to die on the field, they can't go out there like, I'm not going to bring it today. Maybe some of them, though. Like, I know Deontay Banks is getting a lot of flack for that, but he's not the only one. Maybe some of them might not go as hard, might make a couple business decisions, but ultimately, you cannot strap that helmet on, put those shoulder pads on, and walk out onto that battlefield and not bring it. You could end up in the hospital that night, that day. So, like, I really do not think that there is one football player or coach, because nothing is guaranteed. The NFL stands for not for long. I don't think there's one coach or player going out there saying we're going to lose. It's competition. You play the game to win the game. Hello. You play to win the game. Hello. But with the part of the schedule you just had with the Commanders and the Panthers, if you couldn't beat them, it's going to be hard to beat the Bucs. You might be able to beat Cooper Rush and the Cowboys, maybe. But after that, even the Saints, it's going to be tough to beat them with a third-string quarterback who was undrafted. The Ravens, the Falcons, the Colts, the Eagles. So, like, you might just lose out. And the conundrum here is like, okay, what are you trying to see? Are you trying to see them be competitive in these games? They've been competitive. You're trying to see Tommy Cutlass succeed? Not ultimately, because you can't mess up the tank back-to-back years. You won some games last year, and you end up picking six, and you added a receiver to a quarterback that couldn't really play. Now you have the receiver. Now you have another miserable year. And that's why I laughed at some people saying, oh, you know, this is Tommy Cutlett this year. We're going to evaluate him, see if he can be the starter next year or the backup next year. What are we talking about? The backup next year, if you draft Cam Ward? Like, there should be probably a veteran here that can help that young man along. It's not going to be a Tommy Cutlett. What are we talking about? Him, the bridge to 2026? There are Giants fans actually thinking, let's be the bridge to 2026, or let's find the bridge to 2026, tank again, or not even tank. Let's stop using the word tank. I know it's not going to happen. But, like, lose out again, have a top five pick, and draft Archie Manning. You want to talk about inexact science? Like, the chances of that happening, they're just so slim. So much has to happen for that to happen. So what I'm saying is, man, you've already lost enough games. But when you look at this draft coming up, there are a lot of bum-ass teams. There are a lot of teams that are going to have double-digit losses like the Giants. And I know the Las Vegas Raiders are probably looking for a quarterback. Cleveland, potentially. Tennessee, potentially. New England, no. Jacksonville, no. The Jets, potentially. Carolina shouldn't be, but, like, that's what I'm saying. If there are other quarterback-needy teams or teams that might say, hey, this is the guy, you can't have back-to-back years where you're picking in the top 10 and you pick a wide receiver and a lineman. The quarterback has to come, because that's the whole thing we're saying that is saving the head coach and the GM. Oh, well, the whole thing is we thought they were going to draft their own quarterback, develop their own quarterback. We heard so much about what they did with Josh Allen in Buffalo. Now I'm not giving them credit for that. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. He's gotten better without Brian Daboll. But now Brian Daboll's got to coach the rest of this way. Like, now the rumors are, oh, Brian Daboll's coaching for his job. Now, is there a world where Brian Daboll loses the rest of these games this season, or maybe wins one? and they fire him, and then another coach comes in here and gets to I don't know. I don't know. 888-808-1019. All I'm saying is this. There was a stretch where I told you that they were going to be underdogs in every game. I know there's some people thinking they were going to start off 0-8, and I'm like, nah, they're going to win some games, right? They beat Seattle. They beat Cleveland because, like, you're able to go on the road, get away from home, and surprise some people, but I don't know. When we're talking about tanking, they're not actively going to go out there and lose. But I think they could just line up and lose anyway against the teams that they're facing. Good. Good. All right. I said Yankees talk. I don't even know how much Yankee talk we're going to get in here. Let's go to Julian in Oakland, New Jersey on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How's it going? Great to see you're back in here, and I'm happy to be back on. I'll be quick. So two things. First, Yankees, Soto, I would just wait till the winter meetings. All the other stuff is like a big show right now.
Yep.
And we'll see. I mean, the Mets are a real threat. I do believe it's Yankees-Mets. I've always felt that way. And then the Jets, absolute train wreck. I don't even know where to begin. Like, so much talent, same bad results. Me and Rami have talked about it at length, and it's just nauseating.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we got to get to. But for the purposes of these nightly, daily radio shows and the nonsense that we're going to read on tour, like, I've been saying it's the winter meetings, that first weekend. Are you going to winter meetings this year?
I'm gonna try. I'm working on it.
I've never been. Like, if there was a year to go, this is going to be a big one. And Juan Soto is the biggest fish to fry. And Scott Boras knows the game. And he's going to be the first big domino to fall. Thanks for the call, Jules. 888-808-1019. Juan Soto, we have to wait, but in the interim, we will get all of this nonsense, all of this filler, all of this, like, don't obsess yourself with this stuff. Don't obsess over it, because you're going to hear a bunch of different things. I think we ultimately know what's going to come down to two teams. He doesn't want to play out west and whatever. We'll see, but it's still going to be 3 weeks. Let's go to Kelvin in Bergen County on the Fan. What's up, man?
What's going on, Keith? I'm glad you had a nice, well-rested vacation with your family.
Yeah, it was good. Everybody needs that break and reset. And like I said, I got a good perspective on, you know, things that went on without me even knowing it on the internet. I'm like, oh, great. This is the conversation going on.
Nice. Bad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I personally think that a lot of people are sleeping on the Red Sox, man. People forget that that was his favorite team growing up. Of course, I know they've been cheap in the past. But I think they're going to spend money this year, because they didn't spend too much money last year. And that lineup that they had last year, that was not like unlike the Red Sox, as you may know. So
does he want to play with that pesky pole?
Because that's his favorite team growing up. He said it.
When the Yankees went there, the Yankees put him in left field with the Green Monster.
That's true. That is true.
Granted, we had Verdugo, you know, but I don't know what they would do. I'm trying to think how they line up. We know who they have in center field. I don't know.
I'm hearing that they sold the Dominican dream and pairing him with Devers and potentially Vladdy, because you know Vladdy, if he comes to the Red Sox, that's going to spice up the rivalry, because you know how he feels about the Yankees already. So I think they sold him on that dream.
Yeah, I know, and I get it. I get it. I remember hearing Cardi B from the Bronx saying that she is a Red Sox fan. She's Dominican, yep. And the Dominican players. And I'm like, you grew up in the X. How? And I get that. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to spend top dollar. I don't think it's the right town for him, right ballpark for him. I think he enjoyed his meeting with them. And I think he got to talk to Manny Ramirez, I saw. And there was like a, I don't know.
Pedro. It was at Pedro's gala, too. And he was like, you know, they're all up in his ear, too,
Of course. Good for them to, like, break bread and hang out together. But I don't think the reality of him being a Red Sox is real. I just don't think it's a real thing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if John Henry opens up that wallet. I've been following the Red Sox since I was a kid as well. And I'm like, you know, if you didn't open up the wallet to Oscar Hernandez, it was way cheaper. You better open it up now. Dude,
yeah, now they're supposedly going after Teoscar Hernandez. Thanks for the call, Kelvin. Maybe that's how they line up their outfield with Teoscar and, I don't know, Jaron Duran in center field. You guys know him. But Rob Refsnyder. Rob Refsnyder in right field by the pesky pole. Jaron Duran in center and Teoscar Hernandez in left. I don't know. I don't think they're getting Juan Soto, bros. I just don't. Blandy in San Francisco. You're on the Fan in New York.
start.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, come on. We got about 3 minutes and they're going to hit the button.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello? Oh!
Hello? You hear me?
Yes, please go. All right, bro. You're out of here. Lou in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Please know what to do. And you got the rest of the show until they hit the back music on me. What's up, Lou?
Keith, what's up, man? Good to have you back.
Good to be here.
All right. So I don't believe the reports about Soto not wanting to play out west. I think Dodgers are 100% a player in this. I don't know if you follow this Japanese sports economist. He's a professor out in Japan. He's been following Ohtani's entire career. Basically, he lays out the whole economic impact of Ohtani. This year alone, Ohtani was a direct reflection of $770 million. The Dodgers saw about $357 million of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what turned into a billion-dollar offseason saw a Dodgers increase in about $357 million just because of one player. That's TV contracts. That's
merchandise. Yamamoto doesn't get any of that cut. They don't give him any cred. The three-time MVP from over there.
This guy's throwing little tennis balls. But this guy, Ohtani, man, is like a built-in revenue
generator. Yeah, I know it.
And the craziest thing is this team just spent $1 billion, and this guy's going to free up money for them to spend another $600 million if they have to in the offseason. I'm deathly, deathly afraid of the Dodgers. I think if they're very dangerous when they have money to play with. They're not afraid to spend.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid to overpay mm-hmm. because this guy Ohtani can give them the leverage to make money. I mean, when in sports history, I mean, besides like LeBron in Cleveland, right? Like, what did he do to that economy and that city? This guy is generating hundreds of millions of dollars for a ball club. The Dodgers are going to be 100% play.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback that, Lou. If Juan Soto wants to be KD, go join the Warriors. You want to go? Can't beat them. Join them. Go join the Warriors. It's okay now. If you literally want to go join the billion-dollar offseason from last year, the super team, Ohtani's going to pitch next year, Freddie Freeman. Mookie Betts is not going to play right field. They're going to move him back to the infield. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Manfred, do something. Manfred, you got to step in and do something. Also, Manfred, you got to do something with Camden Yards. Stop letting the Orioles change their ballpark. Enough already. They're changing the dimensions of left field again. Manfred, step up and tell them to chill. Tell them that they change it this time. They can't change it again until 2055. Baseball. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Dodgers, sure. The Dodgers can afford it. And like I said, I won't hate on the Dodgers, even though I do hate the Dodgers. And I hate on Ohtani and Yamamoto. I won't hate on their front office, their ownership group, Magic Johnson and them. Because, I mean, since those guys came in, every time they can add, they add. In the offseason and the trade deadline, they never settle. They're always trying to add talent and get better. And that's how you stay a winner in baseball. That's how you up your chances of getting to World Series, which in recent memory, they've been to a few. And they've won two out of the last five. Like, geez. Two out of the last four? So, yeah, maybe they're in on Juan Soto, but I don't know. You've ever been to L.A.? I know there's some spots out there in L.A. I think Juan Soto would prefer to be in New York City. What do I know? I don't know Juan like that. I met him one time. You go to my Instagram, I pinned it. I happened to have the phone out. I seen Juan there. I just dapped Juan up like, you the man, Juan. Appreciate you. He hit two homers that day. That also, I think... Yeah, it was the same day that Luis Gil broke El Duque's rookie strikeout record. And shout out to him again for winning the Rookie of the Year. All right, that's all I've got. C-Mac is coming up next. Again, my name is Keith McPherson, KM to 2 a.m. We'll do this for the rest of the week. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9.